This is the December 19th, 2024 regular board meeting for the Respiratory Care Board.
I had to do it there because this is... Are we supposed to turn our microphones on?
When you're speaking, please.
Okay, well, I would like to call to order the regular monthly meeting of the Board of Respiratory Care Examiners on December 19th, 2024 at 9 a.m. We will start with introductions. My name is Tracy Kagan, and I'm chair of the board.
Alan Crawford, vice chair.
Becky Brownhall, board member.
Those appearing online, please.
Kimberly Colosso, board member.
Thank you.
Raina Maryland, board member.
Thank you. And we have the excused absences for Dr. Easley and board member Legley.
We'll go over here now, this side.
Brian Thomas, Program and Project Manager.
Donita McLaughlin, Interim Deputy Director.
Rachel Fox, Program and Project Specialist. Cross your CEO, Licensing Administrator.
Jack Crawford, Executive Director.
Charles Bover, Assistant Attorney General, Legal Advisor to the Board.
Roberto Pulver, Assistant Attorney General, here for the Independent Advice.
Thank you. All right. We do ask that you silence your cell phones in here. We do have cell service in here, so we don't want to be interrupted by that. We also ask that when you're up at the table, we will give you the courtesy of not speaking over you, and we ask the same in return, that you not speak over us. Okay, we will get started with the call to order. We've done the roll call. We're looking at item number 3, declaration of conflict of interest. Is there anybody here who's got a conflict today? No. Do we have, going to item number 4, do we have any recusals for any cases? Okay, moving on to item 5, we do what's called a call to the public. A call to the public is when anyone in the audience has the opportunity to speak to the board. You would have 5 minutes to address us, knowing that we cannot have conversation back and forth with you because it's not been on the agenda. Would anybody like to address the board? Okay. The other thing I forgot to mention is if you are here for CEUs, you would have signed in on the CEU sheet that Katya has. We will do a roll call at the end. You're expected to stay for the entirety of the meeting in order to receive those CEUs. And then the other sign-in sheet that was out there was people who are here for agenda items, and I've got 2 people who are here for agenda items. Is anyone else, are there more than 2 people here for agenda items? And do we have anybody online on the phone who's here for an agenda item? I'll take that as a no. Okay, thank you. Okay, moving on to item number 6, review, discussion, and possible action on approval of minutes. We are looking for approval of the minutes of items A, B, D, and E with the exclusion of C. Do we have anything to go forward with these minutes?
Motion to approve A, B, D, and E of the minutes.
Second.
We've got a motion and a second for approval of the minutes. Any, I forgot what I was going to say. Any conversation? Any discussion? That's what I was looking for, any discussion. All in favor of approval of the, do you want to do a roll call vote since there's some online? Okay, we'll do a roll call vote, please.
Member Brimhall.
Aye.
Vice Chair Crawford.
Aye.
Chairman Kagan.
Aye.
Member Koda.
Aye.
Member Maryland.
Aye.
And the motion passes. We are moving down to item 7, which is review, discussion, and possible action on formal administrative hearings, and this item is postponed.
Correct.
Okay. Moving down to item 8, review, discussion, and possible action on investigation of allegations about professional conduct and possible summary suspension, and the board will call the case of Eric Holman, case 2023-RCE-0065.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Is RCP Holman here today? Okay. Proceed with the summary, if that's okay with you.
Please.
Okay. This is case number 2023-RCE-0065 involving RCP Eric Holman, holds license number 105388, That license was originally issued on March 2012, is currently set to expire November 19th of 2025. The last recorded quarter that we had on file was Banner Heart Hospital. Do not have any complaint history. There was no criminal history when I checked in public records. RCP Holman allegedly worked on under the influence of alcohol and has failed to complete and or submit the results of an ordered evaluation to the board. This case, on November 7th of 2023, the board received a complaint from the respondent supervisor, which basically stated Eric was respiratory manager at Banner Heart Hospital and the respiratory vascular access team. Recently, there was a change in behavior at work, which was heightened during a weekly leadership team meeting. During the meeting, his behavior was all over the place, from excited to hostile. He was speaking, laughing louder than normal, and overall acting obnoxious. Two of his colleagues also smelled alcohol on his breath. So the supervisors tested him for cause. He basically had an alcohol breathalyzer test that came out at 0.122%, indicating he was highly impaired and under the influence of alcohol while working. After the test, he was terminated on the spot. His last date of employment was October 31st of 2023. On December 5th of 2023, respondent replied to the initial complaint notification letter and admitted his behavior and the facts leading up to his termination from employment. On December 14th, the board met to review this initial allegation. In this matter, they ordered an interim order for a comprehensive psychological evaluation, including the substance abuse evaluation, pursuant to Arizona Revised Statutes 3235-53, subsection F. On January 9th, the board issued that interim order, and that evaluation was supposed to have been completed within 30 days. On February 7th, 2024, the board received an email from the respondent stating, "Good morning. This is Eric Holman. I wanted to notify you that I have an appointment for Thursday, February 8th at 11 a.m. with Dr. Jennifer Jones." And he provided the contact information. We had scheduled an administrative hearing that was going to be held on February 21st. That administrative hearing was postponed because we needed the evaluation results. Since that time, the staff has not received the results. I've reached out to RCP Holman on several occasions and have not received. And in one particular conversation, he finally called me back. I told him that we'll need the results from the interim order. He did not really indicate to me whether or not he had completed the evaluation, and did not really indicate whether he's going to follow up. So I reached out to Dr. Jones. Dr. Jones just yesterday confirmed that he had completed the evaluation, that she was unable to release the results because they have not been reviewed by her with him, and she did not have a release. So staff's position in this particular matter is that while the evaluation may have been completed, he has not complied with the board's interim order to complete the evaluation, get us the results, and that is why staff is recommending that we summarily suspend his license because he's not complied with that order, and because of the egregious allegation that he was working while under the influence of alcohol. I don't have anything further to answer his question.
Thank you.
I have a question. So just for a point of clarification, this practitioner had an order to comply with that was signed and executed by the board. They went and completed the evaluation, but have not rendered us any results of that evaluation.
Madam Chair, Vice Chair Crawford, that is correct. I did not find out until yesterday through a phone message that the evaluation had actually been completed. And I have made several attempts with him to find out if the evaluation was actually done and get the results. So discussion is affirmative. That's exactly the fact pattern.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Board members, thoughts, questions?
I'm ready to make a motion.
Madam Chair, I'm sorry, I have one addendum. While the recommendation is for a summer suspension of the license, if the board chooses to make a motion in that direction, I would also ask that the complaint notice, a hearing that we had previously issued, be amended to include the allegation for a violation of a board order in that notice of hearing for when that hearing takes place. And I think that hearing is supposed to be conducted within 60 days after the vote, after the board may vote to summarily suspend his license, but Assistant Attorney General Pulver can address that with the board if it comes up.
Mr. Pulver is correct. If you do the summer suspension, it has to be within a 60-day time period. At least the minimum is 35 days, 5 days for Maine, 30 days for the individual, Mr. Coleman, to go that direction to prepare. If it goes over 35 days, that's fine. But 60 days seems to be through an appeals court case from the U.S. Appeals Court saying that's too long. So the other thing I would mention to you, if you're going in the direction of a sentence suspension, I would advise you go to executive session with me, and I can give you advice. But the other piece is you need to articulate the reasons why this is an emergency. You need to explain. My understanding is, if I am not stating the fact correctly, he still has an active license. He can still find employment. If that's an issue, you need to articulate that so that when the administrative law judge looks at that, he needs to be able to say what caused this to be an imminent threat to the public, to the health, welfare, and safety. You need to be able to articulate it clearly. So if it's 3 points, give 3 points. If it's 4 points, give 4 points in your motion.
Okay.
I just feel like this is a different process than what I'm used to doing in regards to a summary suspension. So I would like to move into executive session for legal advice.
Okay, so we have a motion to go into executive session. We have a second. Any discussion on that? Do we need to roll call that too?
Please.
Okay.
See, we have Vice President or Vice Chair Crawford.
Aye.
Chairman Kagan.
Aye.
Member Cota.
Aye.
Member Brimhall.
Aye.
Member Maryland.
Aye.
Okay, that motion passes, and we will.
Madam Chair, if I may, we're going to excuse ourselves from open session. We'll go into the room next to us for the closed session for executive session. I'm going to bring the computer with us so we can everybody in there. Okay.
Hang tight, guys. We will be back. Okay, we are back in the open meeting at 9:25. I did not know what time we went out, but hopefully somebody else did.
9:13.
Okay, thank you. Okay, do we have any discussion or motions or anything we want to report? Board members.
Vice Chairman Crawford, I would like to make a motion for a summary suspension. The reason being is that our primary responsibility is for the safety of the public. RCP Holman has been under a order of probation, which he has not complied with, and that order was executed over the last 12 months. The failure to produce an evaluation has me concerned for the safety of the public, and under Arizona Revised Statute 32-3553, I move for a summary suspension to occur.
So we have a motion.
I'll second the motion.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion?
Who was the second?
Cota.
Cota, okay.
Roll call vote, please.
Vice Chair Crawford.
Aye.
Member Cota.
Aye.
Chairman Kagan.
Aye.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Member Maryland?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Okay. Very good. Thank you, everyone. We are now moving on to agenda item.
Madam Chair, if we could also get a motion to amend, now that you've made the order for summary suspension, if we can get a motion to amend that complaint notice of hearing to include violation of the board order, I would appreciate it.
So moved. I have a motion that we amend the order to include the violation of the board hearing.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Vice Chair, I'm sorry, Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Vice Chair Crawford?
Aye.
Chairman Kagan?
Aye.
Member Cota?
Aye.
Member Maryland?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Okay. You good with that conclusion?
Yes.
That concludes it? Okay, very good. Item number 9, which is review, discussion, and possible action on the application for licensure. Both of those items are being postponed.
If we can spell check that nobody's here for those items, I would appreciate it.
Do we have Andrew Ramirez here? And do we have Michelle Pulido here? No, nobody's here.
Thank you.
Okay. Item 10, initial review, consideration, and possible consolidation of cases and action of investigation of allegations of unprofessional conduct. Looking at item A, we do have a couple of people here for those, so I'm going to pull those out individually, and we will call the case of Tim Peralta, case number 2024-RCE-223. Board members, that's item number 8. Kim, you can go ahead and come to the front here.
And I have that starting on page 181.
Thank you so much.
Go ahead and
have a seat at the table there.
Oh, okay. Thank you. What we normally do is a little staff summary, and then the trust the board if you want to ask for that. Great. Thanks for coming down today. Madam Chair, members of the board, this is case number 2024 RCE-223 involving RCP Ken Peralta. RCP Peralta was originally licensed with us in September 20th of 2012. License is currently active, set to expire February 20th, 2026. Last reported employer that I have is Plaza Healthcare. No complaint history and no criminal history found in public records when searched. The context of this case is that it's a failed continuing education audit. Or staff identified a deficiency of 12 hours of continuing education when we completed our audit, of which that also included 5 live hours. We notified our speaker of this on March 1st, 2024. And then on October 28th of 2024, we notified her of this complaint. We hadn't received a response. Our speaker was notified by mail. And we don't, she is here and appearing before you, hopefully with an update on our continuing education.
Have
we had a chance to look at those at all?
No.
If you could do those for Rachel, we'll take a quick look at them. And were these done during the renewal time frame, or did you do that after?
No, they were done prior, within my time frame of having them done.
Give us a minute. Did you have trouble uploading them into the system?
No, they uploaded fine. The only thing that I have to say is, like, when we were talking about it at my place of work, is when we upload, we don't get anything back that they were uploaded. There's, like, not a recipient that's saying, the thing saying items uploaded, nothing. We just upload and we hope they went.
I think the current system allows you to see in your portal the number of hours and the list of the CE that's loaded into there.
We changed it.
Okay.
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
For
sure.
The feedback.
She's good. We have all of them.
Okay. So 20 hours, 5 hours live, 2 hours of ethics.
Yes.
So staff would amend our recommendations to an order for non-compliance. We would recommend dismissal on this particular matter.
Vice Chairman Crawford, I'll move to dismiss the case.
Second. So we have a motion and a second. Any discussion?
Thank you for being here.
Roll call vote, please.
Vice Chair Crawford.
Aye.
Member Brimhall.
Aye.
Chairman Kagan.
Aye.
Member Cota.
Aye.
Member Maryland.
Aye.
Motion passes.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for being here today. Thanks. We will move down to the bottom of this list for the call case of Maria Campaign, case 2024-RCE-265. Thank you for being here. Good morning.
I'm sorry, this is 17. Bear with me here a second, please. My page number is 386, but it may be off by three pages from your materials.
No, that's
okay.
Correct.
Thank you.
Case number 2024-RCE-264 regarding RCP campaign. Originally licensed with us on October 21st, 2010. License is currently set to expire on July 8th, 2026. Last reported employer I have is Plaza Healthcare. The main allegation in this particular case is a failing in continuing education audit. We had a deficiency of 1 hour of ethics. Looks like we responded to the initial notification about November 25th by sending in more information, more CEs to us. But we did, in those CEs we received, we didn't have that 1 hour of ethics. I don't have anything further unless there's any questions from the board.
Nope. So we'll kind of give it to you to tell us.
Oh. I normally get my ethics CU from the same, I believe it's Ganesco, and it's saying that it's not part of the ethics because it's not written on the actual certificate, but it shows in the receipt that it's ethics and healthcare. So for both of them, so I don't know what the issue is.
We have a copy of the actual.
So it's like the CE that she's talking about starts at page 392. Genesco website. Looks like this is one from June 20th. Healthcare ethics for response for respiratory care. 1 hour. So that would be good for the ethics. And the other one I think that we're talking about is tracheostomy and prevention of hospital acquired pressure ulcers. Patient safety, certificate of continued education. Is that the one you think is ethics? So the staff and Rachel hopped in here. So the discrepancy is patient safety the same as ethics?
Yeah, but it does say the category is ethics and safety, so I can see how that could be misleading.
And I understand that's the category, but when we're looking at it,
To me, I'm not sure.
Right. And I don't know how you would get ethics into pressure sores. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's if you're working in that kind of institution, that's all about care and treatment, but it's not necessarily ethics. The only ethics part of that would be making sure that you're doing a follow-up on a daily basis, turning to patient, that sort of thing.
I mean, even on the certificate itself, it says patient safety. It doesn't say anything about ethics.
And that's why we're discussing this.
Yeah, understood.
What complicates this particular case and fact pattern is I believe you do have you've been before the board before for continuing education violations, and I'm not sure if you had a letter of concern or a non-disciplinary order or both. Do you recall?
No, I believe it's a non-disciplinary.
Okay. Now it's back in 2017. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So my thoughts on the topic would be the certificate doesn't say ethics, so I could understand why it wasn't counted as ethics. I could see the perhaps misconception of when registering for the course because it does say ethics when you register for it based on the receipt that was provided by RCP campaign. Did I say that correctly? My motion would be that we order for 1 hour of ethics to be completed, not countable to the current licensure period.
Okay, so we have a motion for 1 hour of ethics to be done. Do we have a second to that?
That would be non-disciplinary.
Okay. And I'll second. Okay, so we have a second to a non-disciplinary order of getting one ethics CEU done. Do we have any discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Vice Chair Crawford?
Aye.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Chairman Kagan?
Aye.
Member Cota?
Aye.
Member Maryland?
Aye.
Motion passes.
So the board is basically going to send a non-disciplinary order to go get that 1 hour of ethics. While they understand that it was in that category, it's not expressly identified in the course, so they want to do once you get 1 hour of ethics. That will not, you won't be able to use that for your next renewal. Okay? You have any questions or?
No.
Thank you for coming down today.
All right, thank you.
Okay, the board will continue in item A, and we're gonna block call the cases that are numbered 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, and 16. So the exclusions are 7, 8, and 17.
May I, Madam Chair, maybe look at number 6, 2024-RCE-216, and that's my little hand. And that's on page 156. Because when I reviewed it, I thought he had all his credit hours, and then we went back because he was missing one. But this may be like the ethic, but I just want to review it one more time with you guys to make sure I'm being fair.
So we will call the case of Michael Callahan, take case 2024-RCE-216.
Madam Chair, do you want a summary or do you just want to jump into the continuing education?
I think we can just jump into the continuing education.
Okay.
It's the question at hand here. Did he have to see the credit hours during his remote time? Because I did not see that afterwards, and he submitted it afterwards when you know, confronted me, sent them a notification. He sent the credit hours, but it did not share with me. Was it after the renewal time or during the renewal time?
So anything completed after 2/18/24 would.
Correct.
Rachel, who needs to call on this one?
It looks like he did submit the last 2 hours after the fact, but they were completed during his renewal time frame.
So he had them all, but he didn't have them all when he sent them that.
Yes. Correct.
But he completed all 20 hours within his
licensing period.
Yeah.
So if I'm going to do a motion, we dismiss number 6, Michael Callahan.
So moved. Second.
So we have a motion and a second for dismissal on Michael Callahan's case. Any discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Vice Chair Crawford?
Aye.
Chairman Kagan?
Aye.
Member Cota?
Aye.
Member Maryland?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Okay.
Thank you. Good catch, Member Brimhall.
So now we are looking at items 1-5 and 9-16 with the exclusion of 6, 7, 8, and 17. Jack, do you want to say anything about all these or no?
No. Okay. Are any of these that you're going to block vote need to be moved within the last, week? Anything else come in that you're aware of?
Not that I know of.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Anything you want to look at, board members in particular? No? Okay. So then I'll submit a motion for this.
I'll do a motion that we approve. Non-disciplinary order probation 1-18 except for 6, 7, 8, and 17.
Okay, we have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second the motion.
Non-disciplinary order of probation. Is that what I heard you say?
Non-disciplinary order of probation, that's what it states. But it's just a letter of concern.
Is it for a letter of concern or probation?
It's non-disciplinary order for probation because they need to go complete the continuing education that they did not submit to us.
Okay, so we had a motion. I believe Board Member Cota was our second. Do we have any do we have any further discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Member Brimhall.
Aye.
Member Cota.
Aye.
Chairman Kagan.
Aye.
Vice Chair Crawford.
Aye.
Member Maryland.
Aye.
Motion passes.
Okay. We are going to move on to the block of item B, which is the staff recommendation for non-disciplinary concern. Board members, is there any case 1 through 12 that you want to pull out individually?
So these are, the way I understand it, these are cases that have completed the CE, but not necessarily in the time period.
That is correct.
Okay, so we will call the cases, not call the cases, we will block numbers 1 through 12 with no exclusions. Does anyone have a motion for these?
This is Vice Chair Crawford. I motion for a non-disciplinary letter of concern, the concern being that the CEUs were not completed within the appropriate time.
Set. We have a motion. We have a second for a non-disciplinary letter of concern. Any discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Vice Chair Crawford.
Aye.
Member Brimhall.
Aye.
Chairman Kagan.
Aye.
Member Cota.
Aye.
Member Maryland.
Aye.
Motion passes.
Thank you. Give me one second. Okay. We will move on to 10C, which is a staff recommendation for dismissal. We do have one person here, so we will call the case of, and I apologize if I mispronounce this, Harut Gameda, case 2024-RCE-239. Thank you for joining us today.
We're recommending dismissal on this particular case, meaning you send us all your CEs and you prove they were done within the correct legal time frame. Did you have anything that you wanted to talk about with the board?
Yeah, in the time too, I tried to apply. The particular time when I tried to apply my license, I tried to download my files. I think the website is something wrong because they no file loaded. I applied for the 2 month ahead, and then I say, okay, I have time, and then I am gonna try another day, and the next day I got my license, and I think everything is fine.
Everything is fine. So I didn't know if you had any feedback or anything for the process, but we appreciate you being down here today. Thank you very much for your concern.
So, do we need to still do this one separate, or can we do them all together?
No, it's a dismissal.
For all. Individual, for all of them.
Yeah, okay, you can
so we're going to do a block of case of numbers 1 through 12.
Vice Chairman Crawford, I move to dismiss cases 1 through 12.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Vice Chair Crawford.
Aye.
Member Cota. Chairman Kagan?
Aye.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Member Maryland?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Very good, thank you. All right, moving on to item 11, Executive Director Report.
Madam Chair, members of the board, I have some quick stats for you. Thank you very much for putting these together. Currently, we have 4,072 licensed respiratory therapists in Arizona. If you remember, we are able to issue temporary licenses to those folks that hold out-of-state licenses for up to 30 days for the first temp and an additional 30 days after that. We currently have 12 of those that are currently hold temporary licenses. One of the things that I found out recently, and I just want to give this info to the board, is that all the travel agencies that we dealt with during COVID, they're still doing travel assignments and so forth. They are making out-of-state RTs apply for and get a temporary license before they will even accept an application. So they're kind of misusing the temporary license. These folks, and what's happening is they'll get the temporary license, apply with the travel agency, they'll get an assignment, and then they're already 25, 30 days into the first temporary license. And if for whatever reason they're not getting here until after that, and then they're applying for their permanent, they're applying for the permanent license, it's creating a gap between the temporary licensure and when we can get them a permanent license. That is one of the things that I've gotten feedback from recently. Do you have any comments on that, Rachel? Okay. Is that the temporary license is not being truly used as a temporary license because they're not here in the state working. And if they don't get us all their stuff for the permanent application, we have unhappy customers that are calling us slash me saying, I want my third temporary license. The statute doesn't allow for that. It puts them in a position of losing their job because they're temporary, and we haven't been able to issue the permanent license because their fingerprints aren't back yet.
So I don't mean to sound callous, but I'm not sure I understand why that's our problem.
It's not our problem, but
why wouldn't you, if you had a temporary license, that temporary license was issued to you, why wouldn't you immediately apply for your permanent licensure?
You have to, but if they're out of state, the out of state fingerprint process takes a lot longer than the current field print if you're in state. So they have to send us an inked fingerprint card. Yep. That's probably taking 60 days plus.
Okay, but so again, I'm not seeing that as a board issue.
It's not. It's we are doing everything that we can to get them licensed as quickly as we can. But I feel bad when I have an RT that's working up on the river and they're going to lose their job and they've moved here from another state to take this job and they're not getting paid to be able to do the job. I feel bad about that.
Yeah, but if that's between them and their employer.
It is. So one of the things when I got here back in 23, we had a lot of complaints about licensing time frames. So I guess the takeaway is that the only complaints I'm really getting right now on licensing time frames is this temporary issue. And it's heightened.
What's the time frame between the time we issue a temporary license to the time they apply for permanent licensure?
It's required they do it at the same time. They apply for the permanent, and then that's when we can give them the temporary.
So what do you think the delay is? Or the
perceived it's the
delay?
Applicant. It's the applicant not giving us the stuff that we need to process the application in a timely manner. And it's more than likely almost always fingerprints. Do you have, Rachel, do you have a comment on that?
I don't. I agree. I wish we could do something for them, but the statute says.
We're doing everything the way we can and we should, in my opinion. 60 days is probably not long enough for temps. You know, it used to be 6 months here. Mm-hmm. A long time ago. Maybe we should consider, for those out-of-state licensees, maybe we should consider lengthening that temporary time in statute. But it just creates, it's the only call that I'm getting for complaints right now with licensing. So I guess the takeaway for you guys is, I want to let you know that's an issue. It may bubble up to one of you or the board eventually, or the ombudsman's office for an investigation or something like that, but that's the only thing that I'm recently getting some feedback on as far as complaints and licensing.
What information do we provide the applicant at the time that they apply about you might want to do this quickly?
I think we do an excellent job, and the reason I'm smiling and laughing is we have tried to send out, you know, step-by-steps, information. Applicants are not the best readers of the information that we send them. So they may not be reading everything that we're giving them. They certainly don't read the statutes and the rules all the time. So we try to educate them as best we can, but I have not found an effective way to communicate that to them in every case. It is their responsibility to know that stuff. I don't know another way to adequately educate them when they're first applying. But I really don't like the way travel agencies are misusing our temporary license right now. And some are worse than others. And I understand their perspective. They don't want to take an application, do all the work to get an assignment if they're not going to get their permanent license here. I understand all that, but it's really a misuse of our temporary license. And that happens not only for travel people, it also happens for people that move here. I've had one applicant move here without a temporary and can't get a job. So
what would board staff's recommendation be?
I think we should look at a statute change to allow not only the out-of-state license holders to get a temporary license, but also I think we need to bridge the gap for graduating students.
I'm finding the same problem with that group of students, with that group of licensees?
Yes. Yeah. They're not complaining because they can't. They're not. They are unable to get a temp because we don't have a statute or rule that allows graduating students to get a temporary license or some other credential that allows them to work between graduation and licensure. So I think we need a statute to address it. It's license mobility. So you're going to get the compact licensing that nursing has, yeah. Something we have to look at for that cohort. But I really think students need some sort of also bridge or of credentialing between when they graduate and when they get fully licensed. They're already out there working in the hospitals, you know, during their rotation. So there's no reason we can't do some sort of student certificate, student registration, so that we have a regulatory hook with them, but to allow them to work while they're taking their national boards and all that kind of stuff.
That's how it was way back when I graduated.
Yep.
Well, the other thing I'm a little concerned about, if they can't comply with the time frame and they still have to get their credit hours, so we're going to be seeing a lot more of them on the agenda.
Just
so,
because I don't understand when you get a temporary, your class starts taking hours. So
my thought would be is that I'm open to the idea of board staff providing us a draft of what their recommended or proposed rule change would be.
Absolutely. Okay. But I wanted to highlight that, letting you know feedback that I'm getting so that you heard it from the staff, mm-hmm. and you're not hearing it from a concerned applicant or director at school or anything like that.
Okay,
so that's my comment on temporary licensing. We've approved 190 applications this year, calendar year through 2024. We had approved a total of 45 temps. One voluntary license application, 45 universal licenses were approved. Average age of applications for permanent right now is 70. That's the average number of days that it's taken us to process.
Did you say age?
Yeah, I
did.
I was like, wow.
The average age of the applicant is 70. You said
I did.
Days.
Well, no.
Oh, okay, that kind of age.
I'm getting old too.
Yeah.
The average time to process an application is 70 days. Average time to process a temp is 2 days. And then we have about 280 open investigations right now. And that includes the information on today's agenda. I just wanted to shoot you some quick stats. Does anybody have any questions on those?
Yeah, board member Maryland, of the 90, I believe it's a temporary license issue, how many of those are the people that were at risk of not being able to get a permanent license, if you have that information?
None, zero. And so the temporary, right now, the if you don't mind, I'll kind of go through the minimum qualifications for a temp. We have a, there is a general statute that is allowing us to issue temporary licenses right now. And one of the qualifications is that you have to hold a license in another state. The requirements of that license in the other state, it has to be similar to ours, meaning it, they have to be in a registered respiratory therapist. They have to hold an RRT credential that is issued by the National Board of Respiratory Care, and then they can't have any discipline in their background. So when somebody applies for a temporary license, they basically meet our licensing requirements. The only thing that we haven't done is we haven't done a fingerprint background check. Our statute requires a FBI, an NCIC, and a CJIS, Arizona Criminal Justice Information search of criminal background. That is the only ingredient that is different between the temporary and the permanent. However, the applicant has to send us all that information within a time frame, and that is what doesn't happen very often, or it doesn't happen as timely as I would like it. Does that help, for member Marilyn?
Somewhat. I was more when you were saying as far as those of the travel agencies that aren't able to get their permanent license in time, they're at risk of losing their job. I was trying to get an idea of the number of people. If 90 temporary permits or licenses were issued, how many of those people were in the...
It's less than, yes. Okay, I understand the question. Thank you. It's less than 5%. But when I get that call, they're already beyond agitated. So... the number is small, but when it happens, it tends to be, how do I want to express that? Kat? Rachel?
Explosive.
Right now, the way the system, or the staff system is set up, board member Marilyn, is that anytime there's a problem caller or anytime there's somebody that is not happy with the service they're getting from staff, all the staff here is trained that that gets escalated to me. To the point of if they have a disruptive customer, I tell everybody here that they're allowed to hang up on them. And if they call back, you know, basically tell them that we're not going to talk to you, you need to talk to the executive director. So by the time it gets to me, if, you know, these people are very unhappy with us, they may file complaints with other agencies. And that's why I'm bringing it up now. I want the board to know what's going on with staff. It's a small percentage, but it seems to have, within the last 2 months, it seems to have happened with more of a regularity than what I'm accustomed to. So that's why I'm kind of bringing that up. Does that help a little bit with context?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I can understand their frustration. Nobody would want to lose their job. But at the same time, I'm equally frustrated that you can't comply with getting the materials in a timely fashion.
I know we all have, staff has opinions on that. We try to do our best to lay that out. I don't know why it's not getting communicated other than these folks are real busy. They don't have time to look at every piece of information we send them. I know that's an excuse, but I don't have another good reason for it.
Yeah, I'd be interested in seeing the board staff's recommendations for a draft.
Will do. Denise, do you have anything to report on the financial report? You want to tell her?
No, we're operating on a surplus, again, like last year. Not as much of a surplus, but... outstanding invoices we have is for the licensing system, but Jack's still doing some negotiating with them because it's not complete yet. But other than that, all of our invoices are paid up, and we're like around $50,000 right now as a surplus. So.
Nice.
So
all the bills are paid.
Yes.
What's going on with the licensing system?
Ooh, that's a loaded question.
I'm not happy with the delivery of the product. You've heard me say bells and whistles on our licensing system over the years. They did not do what they said they were going to do. We haven't paid them, we have a system, but but they gave us what we had. And well, there's a couple features that I like, but I want it to be robust. I want it to be intuitive. I'm not talking about AI kind of, you know, powered system, but I want it to work for us, make us more efficient, and make us do less work with the automation in it. We didn't get there with this system. Mm-hmm. Quite honestly, it got to the point where I was very frustrated, I think Danita was too, and we kind of gave up on it. And we're making little improvements. We've hired a third-party contractor, Google Intelligence, to help us with some of the little improvements. I would be surprised if this system doesn't go away. And it's not just this board. There are all other boards that are involved with this. Mm. I would be surprised if you will see this vendor here within 5 years. Mm-hmm. Because I don't think they're meeting anybody's expectations.
No.
So.
And so we're choosing not to pay them because those services haven't been rendered.
Partly, yeah. It's become a, yes. Quite honestly, this executive director can only get pushed so far, and we're at that point where it's a put up or shut up situation. You deliver what you said you would, then we'll pay you.
I think that's fair.
And that's where we're at.
Okay.
And it's nobody's advancing in any direction right now. Do you have any comments on that, Danita?
No, it's just very behind the schedule that we were told. Mm-hmm. As an example, they just loaded attachments into the new system from the RCE system a couple days ago, and that was supposed to be done months ago. Mm-hmm. So we're still going through validation and things like that. So it's very behind schedule.
So you guys are doing a lot of manpower work that should not be there.
Right. Like we're using the contractor to do things that we expected to be there initially. Mm-hmm. We're creating our own letter templates. We're doing a lot of manual work that
should have been
done in the first place. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
Lots of workarounds.
Okay.
But the good news is from like a licensee perspective or an applicant's perspective, it's very intuitive when they go to the website and they're creating an application or they're doing their renewals. So on that front, it's helped streamline some stuff. So
one of the benefits in renewing entering, has anybody here used the done a renewal, entered in your continuing education yet? So the way the system is set up for entering continuing education now, I think, is an improvement over the last system. We had RCP Peralta mention that they don't get any confirmation of what they sent in. This system allows you to enter your continuing education certificates into the categories. We need 20 hours, 5 hours, 2 hours. You enter them into those categories, and then it totals it all up. It will not allow you to progress in the renewal unless you hit those parameters, 20 hours, 5, 2 hours, and then it allows you to renew. So I think that has helped in some respect get the hours in there. Now, can the system analyze that certificate to make sure it's the right one in the right place?
No.
But it helps our licensees frame what they need and where they need to put it. I think it's reduced the number. I don't know. Is it reduced the number of continuing education audits?
Yeah, we've had a lot less people fail the audit this year.
So I think it's
that's
helping.
That's an improvement.
I think it's helping in that respect.
So you no longer can just upload a huge PDF of all your scans for
no.
Calls.
No.
A place for everything and
everything. Yep.
I welcome the feedback when you get to that point.
Oh, yeah.
Be careful what you ask for, Jack.
Okay.
Well, it's kind of like the real estate agency. You have classes, and they have, like, these codes, and you load each one up separately. And it definitely tells you. And that system's been in progress for many years, and it works really well.
I've heard that before.
Madam Chair, last thing I have in the Executive Director report is just want to give you a status update on the ISA for your Executive Director. It's still being staffed by the Office of the Attorney General, meaning I've done several of these ISAs. I've always asked for review approval. For whatever reason, I've never really gotten that review from employment law, from HR, or anybody else. It's Jack writing the ISA in the best way that he knows how. And he's plagiarized that over from prior ISAs, quite honestly. So I believe Sustained G. Hover's section has pushed that up to the employment law section. We're still waiting to hear back on whether the ISA that we're contemplating is good or not. And I just want to let you know that it's still not finalized. They're working on it.
Wow.
I'll let you know when it is.
Did we close the loop with the prior applicant?
I believe that's all been taken care of.
Okay.
Nothing else that we need to do.
So I'm frustrated, though, because you've been doing this job now for how many months?
If you haven't received
your pay, I'm assuming.
You're correct, but I'm looking forward to a lump sum. If not, I still enjoy the job.
No.
So that I get frustrated, too, but we have to go through the process. I do not know any other way to ask or push. I've talked to HR. I've talked to the folks at DAG's office. I think everybody is trying to push it forward. They just haven't got it done yet. So,
do we need to have a meeting with these people? Because I feel like we had a very concise meeting that was very detailed as to what was going to be happening. We had the head of HR on the meeting. We had the AG's office on the meeting.
I think everything is not now.
Okay, you let me know.
I will thank you for that. It just hasn't been done. I think everybody's doing everything they can, and I'm appreciative of that. It's definitely not happening within the time frame that I like it,
right.
But we're still getting a lot done, right?
Well, then I think we need to then have a conversation about giving you back pay or since the time of.
I'm not worried about it right now. I am happy in role I'm providing, and I'm happy with everything.
Will you let us know how time to work?
Ask Danita. She'll tell you. Aren't I happy to do that?
Well, this is really unfortunate because, here you step in. When our board was a little troubled, they audit us. They give us a report. We write the plan of correction, and we're working our plan of correction on our dashboard. And I just feel like they're not listening to us. Even though we're making great strides, great improvements.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm. If you were to ask me if this is political, I have no idea. Could it have gotten escalated to that point? It could have, but I have no indication that it's a political issue. It's nothing other than we're trying to get to it within the time that we can.
Are you able to reach out to the powers that be and let them know that at the January meeting the board would like an update?
Sure. I'll put it on my list of things.
Second.
So that's on the agenda item.
Okay.
Do you have anything to add to that, sir?
No.
That's scary. You get that kind of answer from an attorney, a quick no, that, No. So I just want to let you know what's going on with that, okay? Thank you. I don't have anything else. Future agenda meetings, January 16th, February 20th, and March 20th.
Yeah, those are 2025s.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, I thought I changed that. There's a thank you, I'm sure.
But I did check the calendar. Those are the right dates.
Yeah, we're back on our third Thursday of every month schedule. I do not want to change from that. That seems to be a real good rhythm for everybody. So those are the next three that we have. You're going to starting in January. We have legislatively, we have sunset review stuff that we're working on, but you're going to start seeing a little more sophisticated reports if I get access to some software as far as management of the Auditor General report progress and so forth. We change over to Google. I don't have access to Microsoft Project. Gantt chart. I don't have the same access to the software that I've used to ask for project management. I have a request into IT to get some access to some Google-based Gantt charts and so forth. When I get access to new software, I'm going to start giving you a little more sophisticated updates on our progress with the Auditor General's report. So I'm hoping to start showing that you that in January.
Okay.
I'm happy with our progress. We have a long way to go. And but have a staff now that I think can get it done and will get it done, given a little time.
Very good.
Right, Kat?
Okay.
I don't have anything further.
Anyone else have items for future agendas besides the update that we want?
No. No, the only other thing is Kat will, we've changed a little, Kat will do a roll call for community education, and we have been printing those certificates if people wait.
Oh,
and
nice.
Handing them out before they leave here today.
Very
so we don't
nice.
Have to mail them out.
Very
so
nice.
That's the only thing that I have before adjournment.
Okay, so let's go ahead and go to that roll call.
Okay. Destiny Baldwin. Danielle Dyack. Donna Hardy and Janet Davis.
Perfect. All right. Well, then this meeting is adjourned at 10:12.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Happy holidays, everyone.